Thank you for sharing, Becca. What an incredible song. I came in a couple of times during rehearsal and just stood over and listened to the words. What a wonderful, wonderful song. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Ephesians, the fourth chapter in the book of Ephesians. We're going to talk about a little bit about your favorite word again this morning. Put it on the screen so they can see it. If it's up there. There it is. Your favorite word, change. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. If you've ever been a parent, then I'm sure you remember when your child first rolled over. It was an exciting thing. And then you moved over to try to get them to sit up. And then after you got them to sit up, you tried to get them to crawl. And then after you got them to crawl, you would hold their hands over their head and you were trying to get them to walk. And then you spent the rest of your time trying to get them to sit down. Isn't that right? And we want them to talk, and then we try to get the rest of our life for them to be quiet. Everything living that God has created changes. Everything living that God has created grows, and through that growth, it changes. When puberty comes to our life, our voice changes. When we hit middle age, our metabolism changes, and it continues right up until the time that we're no longer on this earth. And then there are things like habits and behaviors, and what about addictions and you know, things that people are addicted to, more than just drugs. People are addicted to food. They're addicted to immoral behavior. What about those areas in our life? What about things like emotions and anger and bitterness and fear or gossip or slander? What about those things? And then we open up God's Word and we see God commands us to change. In fact, here in our text this morning, demands to change are on nearly every line of this passage. What Paul tells us is we are to put off the old self. We're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and to put on the new man. And as we look at this, we probably go, yeah, right. Boy, that sounds simple, Billy. That's simple enough. But listen, have you ever tried it? It's almost impossible. It's like telling a drug addict, hey, just say no. Just walk away. Just don't do that anymore. You see, part of our problem is that we really try and we fail and we assume that it's impossible, so we give up. And if you're stuck in that rut this morning, let me encourage you, let me tell you this, and if you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Change happens to us, not by us. Let me say that again. Change happens to you, not by you. Let that sink in. You see, in order to change, it's not just subtraction, but it is an exchange. Change happens to us, not by us, and change begins with an exchange. Now, there are a few ways, three really, that people will look at this passage this morning, and two of those, in my opinion, are wrong. Some people will think to themselves, oh, Billy, I came forward during an altar call. I'm saved. I can go on living however I want because the change has already occurred in me. And then there will be those that will say, well, read this. They will become overly critical of themselves in their lives. They will beat themselves up day in and day out. And they'll eventually come so frustrated that they'll quit. That they'll remove themselves. And Paul says, simply, we're to put off our former conduct. We're to put off our old self. But if that's all a person does, if all a person does is stop a certain behavior, if all a person does is get rid of a certain habit, then there is trouble ahead. Because that's not all of what Paul is talking about. Paul says we're to put off our old self, but he also says we are to put on our new self, which has been created according to God. Remember in the book of Luke, in the 11th chapter, Jesus talks about a man who was delivered from demonic possession. And after a while, that demon goes back. And he sees the man's life's all in order, but nothing has taken the place of. And so the Bible tells us that he brings some of his buddies back, and he repossesses that man that's even nastier than itself. When Karen and I first got married, we were honored to live in a school duplex of about 600 square feet. And they repainted the walls, and they had nice new paint on this 100-year-old duplex. And after a period of time, as we were living there, the paint on the kitchen walls, you could start seeing what used to be on the walls seeping through from where they were cooking before, and you could see the grease starting to come through the walls. Jesus described it this way. He said to the Pharisees that they were whitewashed tombs, but on the inside they were full of dead man's bones. When is a thief not a thief? When is a thief not a thief? If you say when he stops stealing, you're wrong. A thief that's not stealing is just in between jobs. But he's still a thief. When's a liar not a liar? When he stops lying? No. It's when he constantly tells the truth. It's when he replaces the lying with telling the truth. So when it comes to change, there's not only something that has to stop, but there has to be something that takes place of whatever it was that stopped. You have to take off the old and put on something that's brand new. Apply that to church life. Apply that to Second Baptist Church and the life of the church. Churches love to play the blame game. We have to put off that. We have to move that, and then we have to replace that. And what are we replacing it with? We should replace it with praise. We should replace it with honor and glory to God. We should be thankful for what God's done for Second Baptist Church. And not blaming everybody and everything in the world that we're where we are. Thank God we're right where we are. We should be praising Him for that. When we take it off, it means we remove it. But not only do we remove it, we replace it with something new. A new creation. Something new. Let me give you an idea of this subtraction. Because it's subtraction, taking away, and then it's an exchange for something new. Let me give you an idea. Karen and I are going out on a date. Maybe you're going on a date with your spouse. Or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And I walk into the closet and I put this beautiful green shirt on that so many of you have made compliments about this morning, both positive and negative, I might add, which is fine. I know it looks like I have a bullseye on me this morning. But I put this shirt on. It's my favorite shirt in the world. And I put it on and Karen and I are getting ready to go out on this date. And I all of a sudden become very itchy. And I look down and maybe I see some fleas or maybe I see some lice on this shirt. And so what do you do? Well, if you're a rationally thinking person, which I hope I am, I strip that shirt off as fast as I can, right? And listen, that's the same idea in the text today. That's what the text is saying today. Is that our lives, our previous lives, outside of Christ, are horrible. They are disgusting. There are things in our life that when we are made aware of those things, we need to strip them off as fast as possible. We need to dispose of those things as quick as we can. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm not talking about making a New Year's resolution. I am talking about stripping off, becoming a new creature, a complete exchange, a subtraction plus exchange. And where did that start? Well, we know it all started at the cross. The old man is Adam. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, I believe, that all of this was crucified with Christ. In Colossians 3 and 9, Paul tells the Christians that you no longer have to lie to one another because you are a new person. You have put off your old self and you've put on a new. And then you ask, well, Billy, if the old self is dead, if the old self is crucified with Christ, then why do we still struggle with sin? Why do we still struggle with those things in our life? Well, you might have ripped off, or I may have ripped off that shirt that was infested or infected. I may have ripped that off, but I'm already infected. It's still there. You should never believe the lie, Christian, that as soon as you become a Christian and put your faith in Christ, that your struggle will end. Your struggle, in all actuality, is just beginning. You see, before coming to Christ, sin was a part of your nature, and now we're struggling against sin because we have a new nature. Because we have something new. Paul says we're to put off the old self that has grown corrupt. There's an ongoing corruption. And the Greek word means here, it means to decay or to rot. So the old self is dead. It's been crucified with Christ. But the smell of decay is still around. The smell of rot is still around. And Paul tells us this corruption comes from deceitful sin, and that we're to be renewed, where? In the spirit of our mind. And that tells me that the lust and the evil desires in our life and it is deceitful. It tricks us. It's the aspect of our thinking. That's why we need to be constantly renewed in the spirit of our mind. And what happens is that when I tear that shirt off, because it's my favorite shirt, I run and throw it in the washer. But what I don't realize is there's little eggs all in it. And when I hang it back in my closet, it infects my whole closet again. And what I should have done is taken that shirt off and thrown it away. I should have taken that shirt off and burned it. I should have taken that shirt off and removed it from anything in my life instead of hanging it up in the closet. Instead of me saying, that's my favorite shirt. I've got so many memories in that shirt. I don't know what I would do without that shirt. That's what we do in our lives. Instead of removing those things from our life, we have so many memories. We like what happened in those times. And the Bible says we need to remove the corrupt man. And we need to replace him with a new creature. Haven't you seen people in the church? They serve the Lord with zeal, and over a period of time, they remove themselves from the church, remembering what they used to do and who they used to be. And they don't come to church anymore. You see, you and I must make a point to see the sinfulness of sin in our lives. And we have to renew our minds to stop thinking like the rest of the world thinks and to live like God's Word tells us that we should live. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, what you think and believe controls how you act. What you think and believe controls how you act. And there's many a people that profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's many a people that will stand up and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. They believe that He is real. They believe that He is the Son of God. They believe that He is the resurrected Savior. They believe that He came here in the flesh. They believe that He died for my sins. But they think also that He simply exists so that they will have health and wealth and comfort. And we see that in our churches today. I would ask you a question. How come every seat in this place is not full? If people out there really believe that Jesus Christ was alive and that He died for my sin and that He was the Savior of the world and that He was the resurrected Savior, if they not only talked it, but they really believed it, would this place not be packed? Amen. And we're just like that in our own sense. Second Baptist Church, we're guilty. Amen. We're guilty. We're guilty. Because we refuse to remove the old. And when we do, we don't replace it with the new. And so the old filters back in. And we're right back where we started. And Paul is teaching is when you get rid of the old, when you remove the old, we replace it with something God has chosen for our lives so that the old will not come back to us. There are all areas that we struggle with in our own lives. There are areas that we struggle with in our church life. Some of our minds become futile thinking of the culture in which we live, and we must achieve some sort of social status. We must have a bigger house or a nicer car. We must dress a certain way. Some of us are trapped by past wrongs, things that have happened in the past. Some are addicted to certain behaviors or certain things in their life. Some of us are consumed by selfishness. Some of us are consumed by the fact that it needs to be all about me. I need to be involved in that. I need to make a decision about that. I need to be, that it's all about me. Pure selfishness. Some of us need to feel the approval of somebody else. Some of us need to feel the approval of somebody else in order for us to feel worthy. So how is it that we renew our minds? How do we get rid of these thoughts in our life? In verse 20, Paul says, of all of those things, all of those thoughts, and all of those behaviors are not learned from Christ. Did you catch that? It's not learned from Christ. That's kind of a strange statement to me. You see, what we say that you learn about a person. But in this verse, Christ is both the subject and the object of what we learn. You see, change doesn't come from an accumulation of knowledge. Change doesn't come because I'm smarter or the accumulation of knowledge about someone else. Change comes from embracing the truth that is a person. My Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth that sets us free is Christ. He sets us free from our former master, whatever that is, whatever sin that is in your life. He sets you free from whatever is your former master. That may be hunting and fishing. That may be football. That may be money. That may be food. That may be a hobby. Whatever that is, it sets us free. Christ sets us free from that master. You see, sin is a strange thing. When we get sick and we can't get over our sickness or our cold, what do we do? What do you do? Hello? Go to the doctor. But when we have sin in our life, we run from the very thing and the very one that can help us. We run from Him. When we're sick, we go to the doctor and we get medicated. When we have things going on in our life, sin in our life, so many times we run from the very thing that can help us. We look for anything other than what's best for us. And Paul simply says, what you need to do, church, is you need to go right back to the cross. You need to go right back to where it all started. You see, God gives us the means, the grace to change us. The Word of God takes us back to the cure that ails all of us. In other words, we must come to the Word of God if you truly desire change. You must find yourself in the Word of God. Remember, change happens to you, not by you. In other words, we must stay in the Word of God if we want to keep changing. Second Baptist Church, we must dive into the Word of God if we want to change. We're not going to do it. Do we understand that? Change is not going to be done by us. It's going to be done through us by Him. So we need to step aside and quit trying to change everything we want to change. And step aside and say, God, You're in charge. Change us. Show us. Use us. Let us be the vessel in which You change Second Baptist Church and in which You change this community. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 31, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. In John chapter 15 and 10, he says, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love. In 1 John 2:24, if what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. Remember what our text says this morning. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him. How do you hear Him and be taught by Him? From the Word of God. So if this morning you're struggling with something in your life, I would first advise you to ask yourself, am I a Christian? Have I accepted Christ into my life? Have I confessed with my mouth and have I believed in my heart that Christ and that God raised Him from the dead? The Bible says you will be saved. So you would ask yourself, am I a Christian? If you are a Christian and you're struggling in that sin, then I would ask you, how much time do you spend in God's Word? How much time do you spend around God's people? Are you letting God's Word, which the Bible says is truth, are you letting the truth sanctify you? Are you in God's Word every day? Are you saturating yourself in the Word? And if not, then the question is, why not? Why aren't you saturating yourself in the Word? Why isn't God's Word a priority? Why isn't God's Word a priority in your life or in Second Baptist Church? Have you been changed by the power of God's Word? Well, my message to you this morning is that change will happen to us through God's Word. And it is our church, our priority as a church, to dive into God's Word. Let God change us. And let us be the vessel for Him. So there are things in our church right now. There are things in our church, and I probably don't even know what all they are. But there are things in our own life and in our church, you know what, that we need to discard. We need to remove. We need to get rid of. Maybe that's an attitude. Maybe that's a whatever. Whatever that is, we need to get rid of it. And not only do we need to get rid of it, we need to replace it. We need to exchange it with something from God that God has chosen for us. I haven't been around here long, but there's some vibes around here. I see those. We need to remove them. Get rid of them. Subtract them. But not just subtract them. Replace them. Replace them. And some of that healing has been taking place. We're inviting people to church. We have visitors all over this place. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. So we have begun to replace talking with inviting. That's awesome. But what are some other things that we need to replace? We need to be in prayer about those. We need to dive into God's Word about those. And then what about our own life? What is it you need to remove? You need to discard. What is it? What feeling is it? What emotion is it? What behavior is it? What action is it that you need to remove out of your life? And then you need to replace it with something God has chosen for you. That would be the question this morning. And as we come to this time of invitation, I would ask you to examine yourself. I would ask you to examine the life of our church in your own heart to find out what it is we need to remove and what it is we can replace. I was looking in the bulletin this morning and I noticed you noticed that green sheet of paper in that bulletin. And I know, because we're human,
You start looking down that list, and you have your own little comment about everybody on that list. And you're laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. Folks, that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. It's not a personality contest. That's not what it's about. If Second Baptist truly, truly, truly wants what God wants for them, then that piece of paper will be at your house, on your knees, in front of you, praying for who God wants on that committee. It has nothing to do with me and you. It has nothing to do with a personality. It has everything to do with what God wants for this place. Everything. And that's the way you should approach it. Everything. It's not a personality contest. That's not what it is. It is about who God wants on that sheet. And I believe God will show you exactly who to mark. I believe that. What is it in our life, or the church, in our life personally, that we could discard? And what is it we'll replace it with? Father God, thank you this morning for your word. And Father, I pray that you would pierce my heart. Father, that I would sense your conviction in my life of something I need to remove and replace it with something that you've chosen for me. Father, may we as a church crowd this altar with things in our church life that would need to be removed, and that we would replace them with something you have chosen for us. God, may we in our individual lives fall on our knees and beg for the things that we need to remove in our life, Lord, and replace them with something that you have chosen. Father, may we take your word. May we apply it to our life. May we feel the conviction in our heart. And Lord, may we respond how you would have us respond this morning, whatever that means. Would we do what you have us do? And Father, in that, we will give you the honor and the glory and the praise. As Father, Second Baptist Church wants to do exactly what you want us to do. And Father, give us the courage to stand up and say, we will follow you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. It's in his name we pray. Would you stand with me this morning? Join